We are a body of believers who believe in the whole counsel of God. It is not appropriate to take one verse and only one verse and try to build some sort of a doctrinal statement on that verse. The whole Scripture leads to all Scripture. Revelation says the spirit of prophecy is Jesus. All Scriptures lead and point to Jesus. Everything prophetic moving up to His coming and everything from His ascension to His second coming and beyond. It's all about Jesus. From the seed of Adam and Eve until the last cry of Revelation in the last verses, would you come? Come, He says. How grateful we are to the Lord that He is good to His Word, that His Word is there for us to look at, to draw blessing from, meaning from, life skills from. Today I want to echo the theme of your week. And I hope that the theme has been thankfulness and gratitude. Sometimes the Wednesday before Thanksgiving can be hectic. For those who are doing the preparation of all the mise en place, of all the food and the shopping, maybe Tuesday and Wednesday weren't your finest hours. I don't know. June does a great job. She does everything on Tuesday and then preparing everything for Wednesday, and then most of it's prepped and ready to cook on Thursday. You know the deal if you're engaged in that. I am not. I try. I say, is there anything I can do? No, I got it. Okay. Can I help in any way? Nope, that's fine. I got it. And she definitely does. So I was grateful. We had a great time with her mother, her aunt, her sister, Brandon, myself, and just being able to relax and be among friends. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. But it's not always a cheerful moment. Many of you are widows or widowers, those who live alone, hopefully having extended family you can go to, but not always. So you find yourself alone on Thanksgiving. But I'm here to tell you that even on that moment, when you are by yourself, you are not alone. There's a presence with you who loves you completely and will never leave you or forsake you. Today I want to look at four ways to show gratitude. We're going to be looking at a text out of Luke 17. But before we go to Luke 17, I'd like to tell another story of another encounter with Jesus that Calvin Miller, the great author of the late last century, wrote in his book, The Family Book of Jesus. And he describes the text of Mark chapter 8 in such a way that I think is fun to read. And I'm going to read that to you. It's a story of Jesus' encounter with a leper. And it goes like this. Hello, I'm a leper. A man popped out from behind a building and stood right in front of Jesus. Please don't run away, Jesus. What's the matter with your skin? Asked Jesus. Can't you see I'm covered with runny sores and crusty scabs? No one wants to look at me. My face is so horrible. Well, what do you want me to do? Jesus asked. Well, you can make me better. I know you can, said the man, falling on his knees in front of Jesus. If you don't, I think I'll scratch myself to death. Jesus felt sorry for the poor man. Now, don't touch me, said the man. That's how you get it. I'm not afraid to touch you. Jesus reached down and took hold of the man's arms and pulled him to his feet, and the itching was gone. The sores, they started to dry. The scabs, they began to fall off. Thank you. Thank you, shouted the man. What can I do to thank you? Well, you can go to the temple, show yourself to a priest, and say a prayer of thanks to God. Yes, yes, I will, I promise, said the man, hurrying off. One more thing, Jesus said. Anything, said the man. Now, you don't have to tell anyone what I just did. I won't tell a soul, said the man as he skipped toward Jerusalem. But the man was so happy. And the walk to the temple was so long that he forgot. And he told everyone he met. And then all the other lepers along the road began to look for the wonderful man with the healing touch. Now, that's a great paraphrase. You can go to the text and you'll see the generalization of that story, and there were some liberties taken in that paraphrase, that rendering. But the one thing I love to see in this was the following. The text says that when he went off, people were coming to him from every quarter. Says the verse, he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. But I like the way they did that phrase, that the people were coming from every quarter, that all the other lepers along the road began to look for the wonderful man with the healing touch. This is the first encounter we see in the scripture of Jesus meeting with lepers. There are many in the Gospels. We see many stories of leprosy throughout the Old Testament as well, and how God deals with that with Moses and Miriam and Naaman and others. But I love the fact that the healing touch of Jesus in this man caused him to go out giving thanks to God before the people, and because of that, the people longed for what Jesus had to offer. Specifically here, the leper. Because lepers are now looking for him. They know what he can do for leprosy. The word's gotten out. So later on in Luke 17, we see another encounter with Jesus. There are 10 lepers showing up at Jesus' door. Now, one thing I want to say about leprosy that's been a misnomer and a confusion is this is not Hansen's disease. The word in the Old Testament is not something that would lean toward that. The word sarat means to smite. Because those who were afflicted by this were seen as being smitten by God. It was more of a neurological disease. Many different diseases were classified as a leprosy thing. And it goes back to Leviticus 13, with progressive disease that can cause scabs and crust on the skins, and it leaves white patches similar to vitiligo. Vitiligo? I can never say that right. But it's not Hansen's, which is neurological. But this is a skin-eating disease, and it's happened throughout history. And the Greek word going there for smitten, and the Jewish word for smitten, is something that they have transcribed as leprosy. Coming from the Greek word lepra, which means scabs and peelings. So don't get a handle on this, oh, the Old Testament can't be right because that's Hansen's disease. Hansen's disease is not contagious. It's all a farce. It's not Hansen's disease. It is contagious. And it's more than contagious physically. The person who gets it is now seen as unclean because they have been smitten by God. So it's almost a spiritual thing that you're no longer part of the community. Somehow God has cursed you, and through the Jewish tradition, you've been sent outside. In fact, many lepers lived in cemeteries and different caverns of the wadis where the rivers grow, would come and go. And these caverns, we dug into the walls, and these leper colonies would be there. It's an amazing moment that we see that he's on the way to Jerusalem in a village and 10 lepers come to him. So before he's up in Capernaum in the Galilean area and the word's set coming south, and now as he's approaching Jerusalem, 10 lepers who've heard the story run up to him. And from a distance they call for mercy. And he saw them. He spoke to them. They declared that they were unclean, and he called them clean. Now, that's the moment. But this is the memory I want to get to that is the gist of our entire message today. Only one of those lepers returned to say thank you. 90% of them did not come back to say thank you. C.S. Lewis says it like this. That ancient man approached God out of a strong feeling that he was approaching a judge. But for modern man, the roles are reversed. Modern man sees himself as the judge, and God is in the dock being judged. Maybe that's why they don't feel there's an obligation to say thank you. I suspect that the reason why people don't offer thanks, and the reason we're developing that culture without a sense of thankfulness, is because there's a smack of lazy atheism. What I mean to say is, one old definition of an atheist is this: someone who sometimes feels gratitude but has absolutely no one to thank for it. There's a lot of people who don't see a greater being, the breath of life, the beauty of creation, the various amounts of connections they can make in the network of other people, and the beauty of community, anything and everything, even the beauty of a birth, the sacredness of a death. What is there to be grateful for? This message is about gratitude, the gratitude of the one. And Lord in heaven, please not let us be like the other nine. First, what's gratitude? I don't want to be simplistic about this, but it's an attitude and an action of thankfulness. It's an attitude and an action. They go hand in hand. It's not just something you do, but it's got to be something that you have to move inside and create inside of you that is an attitude of it. A true emotional connection with being grateful. These same words are grateful, ingratiate. They say the greatest desire of all humanity is to be loved and to be appreciated. And yet this is not given. It's sought out for in this generation with the TikTok generation, the social media. Look at me. See me. Please follow me. How many likes can I get? Will somebody please like me? And yet they're the most depressed generation on record. We see this attitude, an action of extending favor towards or giving kindness to someone in response of whatever they may bring to the table. So what are the benefits? What do you get out of this? Which is a crazy question, because that's the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be getting anything out of this. You're supposed to be giving out of this. And yet, by giving this gratitude and thankfulness to God and to others, something happens inside of us. First, it brings you better health. The spirit of joy, this merry spirit, this gratitude, this grateful spirit is good for the bones. It's good medicine, the scripture says. It impacts everyone around you, that this sphere of connectivity you have as you walk around and meet people, they sense your spirit. And if you're a stiff wall, they know. If you're an angry soul, they know. If you're a grouchy grouch, they know. And if you're a person of gratitude and openness and appreciation, they know. And it impacts them. It changes your life. In fact, science says it'll change your life at a cellular level. That your cells are actually reproducing. And on those cells, these peptides, which are either positive or negative, which make you prone to be negative or prone to be positive, you are actually building yourself up as a negative person by being negative, and you're actually building yourself as a positive person by being positive. You build who you will be by what you do. What you sow, you will reap. It's a weapon against depression. It's a weapon against negativity. To be grateful. It's easy to live as a victim. To have the blaming mindset. Well, my dad did this. My mom did this. My employer did this. My children did this. My spouse did this. Yada, yada. Yes, they may have done that, but you have every element of control as to what you do with that. And taking it to Jesus, He can heal all of it, and out of those ashes can become beauty. Out of that brokenness can become restoration. Out of that sorrow, you can find joy again. Thank you. Man, I tell you what, I almost felt a preach coming on there, folks. Sorry about that. I know you Baptists have a hard time sometimes with someone going a little bit exciting, but there you have it. Appreciate that. If you desire a better world than the world you're in, create the world that you want around you. And that has nothing to do with the person that you're living with. It has everything to do with what you bring to the table. Zig Ziglar said, be grateful for what you have. Stop complaining. It bores everybody else. It does you no good. And it doesn't solve one single problem. So how do we show this gratitude? And this is where we're going to get into the text. Really four ways I see in the text that we're looking at today how gratitude is revealed. The first area is attention. We show gratitude by giving attention. In Luke 17, 12 through 14, it said they stood at a distance. They lifted their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Put your attention over here. Our attention is on you. Please put your attention on me. And it says, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. There was a moment that was experienced because someone called on Jesus and Jesus saw them. They gave him their attention. And they got his attention. What is this attention? It's showing up. Showing up in the moment with the person you want to be attended to. With God, you want to give your attention to God? You need to be in attendance with God. Setting time aside to spend with God. We ask for His attention all the time. Help me here, Lord. Help me over here. Give me guidance here, Lord. I need direction over here, Lord. And He goes, where you been? Where's our time? Lord, I can't get a hold of my problems with anger and all these things. Yes, because that's a fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is nurtured when you spend time in and with me, and the Spirit works in you, and you don't give any time to that. You only call out when you're in need. Look, if you want to change who you are, spend time with the change agent. Hello. Putting outside things aside and giving Him full attention. And let me tell you, to show gratitude to a person on earth, why don't you give them some attention? When you go out for coffee, do not hold your phone. Do not answer the texts. Do not stroll for this and that. Look them in the eyes. Put the phone away and be with them. It's a great gift. I had to ask other people in my life, it says, look, my love language is quality time. You know the five love languages, you know of them. Mine is quality time. I give it and I desire it. If I'm with you, I'm all with you. 100% with you. I just ask the same. Same thing with the Lord. I'm going to spend time with the Lord, but I got a cooking show over here and I'm doing this over here, and I'm vacuuming over here. It's my quiet time, Lord. Well, okay. You do that with me. Invite me over to your house. I'm sitting there, and you're bouncing here, there, and I'm going to do some laundry real quick and all that. Okay. You're not spending time with me. Jesus wants you to abide with Him. His presence abiding with you. People want you to be present as well. Your presence is more important than any presence. So the ways you can show it is you've got to be present, as I've been talking about. Put away the phone. Don't deal with work. Don't watch the shows. Don't do your duties. Isaiah says you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. My mind is stayed on you, Lord. I give you my attention. And as I'm with people I care about and those I meet, my mind will be stayed on them. As you go to the Christmas parties, go to a game, going to a party and watching football games, as you go to special moments of birth or marriage or even death, these are important moments to be present at. And even your quiet presence in these sacred moments of passing and death, show a person that you care. It's just being there is an emotional hug. Be present, be timely. I have worked on this and failed at this my entire life. It may be the most important thing I can do, and it's the thing that I drop more often than not. Be timely. If you hear of something, respond to something. In the day you hear of need, make your presence known to meet that need. If you wait a month, 2 months, people will say, "Did you know I was going through this?" "Yeah, I had heard." "So you didn't care?" "Yeah, I cared, but I didn't get around to it." Life is busy, folks. I get it. It's busy for me too. And that's why this becomes a hassle. And what transpires is the longer you wait, the more shame you feel in making a contact that's delayed. Because you have to apologize for being delayed. You want to give them your attention? Be timely. You get an email, a text, "I need help," whatever. It's now. You get a prayer request and says someone's going through something, the Lord stirs your heart. It's now. Let them know you're praying for them. If you can do something, you'll help them. Be timely. I think that when the Lord, if I'm going to give attention to the Lord, be timely is when He speaks to me, I'm doing it now. I'm going to be obedient now. He's got divine appointments for all of us in the moment. There is to be inquisitive. I'm going to give you my attention by asking you more questions about what you're talking about. I want to know what you're about. Not how I can battle you about what you're about. Now that I can argue with you about your positions, I'm not in this game to fight over with you with politics or religion or whatever. I want a relationship with you, and I want to ask questions, and I may not agree with your answers, but I'm giving my attention. Don't we do this with God all the time? "Lord, will you help with this?" "No, I don't like that answer. I'm going to keep on praying." "Lord, what do you think about this?" "I think about this." "I don't like that. Not doing it." "What's your position on this, Lord?" "Well, it's right there. It's in the Word of God." "I don't like that." Walking away. We do it all the time. Rather than just being inquisitive, "Lord, I'm studying your word. I want to know you more. I want to discover the beauty of the differences that you want in me that would ignite my life. I want to discover the beauty in your lives that might ignite our story together. What's going on? How beautiful." Robert Louis Stevenson said, "Keep your eyes open to your mercies. The man who forgets to be thankful has fallen asleep in life." So be attentive. Second, I see in this text that there's some appreciation going on here. Verses 15 through 16 says, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks." Sideline here. Now he was a Samaritan. Just for emphasis. These are not the people of God. The other 10 may have been Samaritans, but Let's just think they were Israelis. They were Jews. They were the tribe of Judah. They were the community of God, the people of God, the sacred, set apart, chosen people of God. They didn't show up. Why? Why did Christians get so lazy about praising the Lord for what He has done? Well, we did it as a kid. I've done it all my life. It's kind of routine. It's kind of redundant. It doesn't mean anything special anymore. Well, make it special. Make it a beautiful moment with the one who loves you most and the one you love the most. Show your appreciation. The healed man turned back and he praised God. He humbled himself. He threw his face down and he gave thanks. So what is this appreciation we're talking about? It's a recognition and enjoyment of the value of something or someone. I appreciate the value of someone or something. My relationship with you is strengthened when I show you appreciation. It builds you up. Ignites your days. It's paying it forward. I want to thank you for this. You go, oh, that's great. I might go say thank you to somebody else. Someone is blessed so much by hearing thanks when they've done something. So the ways to show it, I would say, is be specific. And I'm going to get to something here. And if you forget the entire message, and really there are 4 points, attention, appreciation, approval, and admiration. But we're going to get to something here that if you miss it all, I'll need you to get. Specific in word means you're to say something specifically to God as to what He has done. Every psalm you will read, all the scriptures, when you see a prayer unto God, they are extremely specific about what they are thanking God for. These general sweep statements are lazy in my mind's eye, and I fall into it. But I do some things, and I'll just share one of them, is when I have a bunch of groceries that aren't in a bag, you know, you don't want to, I'm not going to pay 8 cents for a bag. So now I've got 5 or 6 things in my hands, and I'm pulling them up by the car, and I'm getting them to the apartment and stuff. There are moments when I have to get into the trunk, and I've got this, and I've got my rock star, because that goes with me everywhere I go. And I've got things manipulated here, and then I open up the trunk with the keys, and I put the keys over here and in my pocket, and I'm grabbing other things coming up here. And to close the trunk is a trick. And I bring it down, and every time this happens to me, my mind just says, God, you're such a great designer of hands. How'd that finger get around there to hold that one thing in place? It happens to me all the time. You are amazing at the design of our hands. Now here's what I don't want you to forget. When you show thanks, whether it be to God or to another person, one of the great lessons I learned maybe 20 years ago, and I've tried to apply it in my home and elsewhere, is to say your thanks, and actually your apologies and other things, in triplets. Triplets. Remember that word, triplets. Around heaven, the ultimate expression of the Lord's holiness is in a triune way, a triplet way, holy, holy, holy. In the Hebrew, that's the culmination, the fulfillment, the total extent of what holy could be is that, because I've said it thrice. The same thing should be said when I'm saying a thank you. Not just thank you, but man, I really want to say thank you for what you just did. That meal you prepared was completely phenomenal. I'm so grateful for all you do in our home. It's not manipulative. I'm not trying to do something special. I want to, in my own mind, say, this is not a light moment. I want to give it its full attention. I'm offering you my thanks in triplet. Let me suggest the same is true when it comes to an apology. I'm sorry is not sufficient. Yes, I'm sorry for, be specific, what you did. I should not have handled myself in that way. It was unbecoming. It was hurtful to you. I apologize so much. Please forgive me. Triplets. You want to have a person know that your heart wants to bond with their heart? Memorize that one. Be specific in word. Be specific in deed. These acts of kindness. Might be just holding a door sometimes every now and then, buying the meal of the person in front of you, and that's a little scary because sometimes they have, when I did a confession, on these little moments of general acts of kindness, these random acts of kindness, every now and then you hear about people, and I do this often sometimes, is I look ahead of me, and I think, I'm going to buy the meal for that person ahead of me. But if there's five people in that car, I'm going to buy the meal for the person behind me. I got to be careful of that. But these just random acts of kindness. Buying the coffee of the person. June makes baked goods for everybody. Selflessly for another person. The same thing is true with my appreciation to God is, Lord, I am going to be like this leper giving you thanks, and I'm going to run to you physically in my time to show you my appreciation. By doing what? By being obedient to the word in prayer of visiting somebody. And while I go and offer this gratefulness and this act of appreciation to them by giving a gift, I'm going to do it for your glory, not for mine. Hello. Everything we do in word and deed, we do unto the glory of God. So even as I'm acting grateful to another person, I do it unto the Lord. Third is approval. This text I see approval, not just the giving attention, which is needed, not just appreciation, but approval is a little bit different than appreciation. Here we see in verse 16 that he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. This Samaritan was bowing before a Jew, one who was not approved of. One who should not have approved of him. This Jew had no business ministering to a Samaritan. What role do we play together? And yet this Samaritan showed approval of this Jew and threw himself down at his feet. A complete acknowledgement of who Jesus was and what he had done. What is it? What's recognizing and affirming someone's decisions and actions? I approve of what you said, Lord. When those promises come around and I'm going through a dark time and I grab that promise, my soul has to connect to that word and say, I believe what you have said, not what I'm feeling. Your promise is going to dictate to me how I live my life more than what I'm going through in the moment, because I approve of you. I approve of what you said. I approve of the decisions you've made throughout history. I approve completely. I'm affirming and agreeing with who God is and what he's done. God's choices, God's actions. William Arthur Ward said, feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. God calls us to agree with him. You know what confession means? It means agreement. I confess to that which you have said. Witness. I am a witness of that. I have witnessed it. I have seen it. I affirm it. I'm a witness of his glory, of his goodness. And the ways I can show it is verbal approval to the Lord. Oh, all the scriptures, praise to you, O Lord, great unto you, O Lord. Everything, the songs we sing today are all from the scriptures of giving him approval. You did good. And when he spoke it all into, he says, it's very good. Oh, Lord, thank you for the stars in the sky. You did good. My sister-in-law decorated the table so nicely at my mother-in-law's house with all the florists. She's a florist, and she had it all there. And underneath our plates was this massive, and I'm talking massive, oak leaves. I never seen an oak leaf so big in my life. I said, what in the world am I looking at? Larger than my head, this oak leaf. She told me what it was, and I go, wow, that's the coolest thing. And then I go into my apologetics. Yeah, I love the fact that oak leaf produced a peach tree, according to the evolutionists. It's amazing how that particular seed produced another seed of a different type. That's incredible. Well played, sir. It's amazing how that flower was pollinated without bees. I'm so grateful to hear your explanation of it. Don't get me started. So I started, but I'm not going to finish. Psalm 7 says this, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to His righteousness. And I will sing praise to the Lord, the name of the Lord, the Most High. So I give Him verbal approval, but I'm also giving others these verbal approvals. I love the way you did that. I've asked June 4 times to give me knife cutting skills, and I can't, and look, I was a butcher. All right, I know knife skills very well, but not this chopping of a carrot type of thing. I have cut myself. I have an aversion towards taking off my knuckles, and I just can't get over it. I've asked her all. Every time she does that, I go, I am so impressed by the way you do that. She said. But I'm going to show supportive actions, not just verbal approval. I affirm people publicly and privately. Many of you maybe have experienced this. I do the same thing to the Lord. I say, Lord, I'm just so grateful for what you've done. And then I tell others what the Lord has done. But I've affirmed any of you privately, and then if it's something that relates to the body, I'll affirm you publicly because you should be, whether it be an elders meeting or a staff meeting or whatever it might be. I defend another person as an advocate. This is a supporting action. I will endorse the Lord in all He does. I'll endorse you. I've given recommendations and references for hundreds and hundreds of people. I first ask the person, do you want me to be honest? Because if you just look at a stamp, you're not going to get that. And I'm not going to throw you under the bus, but I'm going to praise. But there are areas of, they're asking me what the areas of concern might be. And I'll tell you before I write it. But I give endorsements. You can walk along somebody as a supportive act, be a mentor, a teacher, a trainer. Just sit over coffee with them and just be a compadre, a Barnabas ministry if you would, sister to sister, brother to brother, walking alongside them and celebrating wins. These are supportive actions when someone does well, like the festival. Way to go, Dave! I look at you playing over here and you were trained so beautifully by this lady on the piano, but now I just watch you free flowing in jazz and now you're riding my lane. And I'm so happy to hear that and see that. I see joy in your life in it, and that's beautiful. From the skills taught to the soul expressed. It's beautiful. Give admiration is the final point. I'll close with this. Ish. On the celebrating wins, you've heard me say this, some of you, especially the elders, when something the Lord does is just miraculous or something happens and it's just, oh wow, I've said this in counseling meetings, other meetings, let's just take a pause for a second. We need to get up and do a little dance. You see me do this. We need to do a little jig before the Lord, man. This is celebrating a win. Don't just pass over it. This is a win. Way to go. Way to go, God. Last area is this admiration. When we're showing gratitude, we give our attention, we show appreciation, we acknowledge an approval of what they're doing and what they've done, and now here we go. We walk away with an admiration. How do we give thanks and gratitude? How do they know that I actually care? I actually have an admiration. The leper, Jesus, Master, yeah, that's how he called out. That's how the others called out, but it was just to get. This guy came back and worshiped. Mark 1:45, 17:13 says, Jesus mastered, and Mark 1:45 says, but he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news. This is the other leper we're talking about. He went out. He began spreading the news. About what? About Jesus. What he's done for me, who he is to me, who he should be to you. I have complete admiration for this Messiah. I have nothing but gratitude for the salvation He's given me. For the forgiveness of the things I've done wrong, how merciful He's been to me, how could I not respond with admiration? He's lavished His love on me, in spite of me. He became my sin for me, to take on the punishment of God that I deserved. How can I not admire Him? Master, what is this admiration? Well, it's celebrating someone else's qualities and allowing them to inspire us. If I admire someone from a distance, it's, wow. Well, I watch Lewis do his work around the church and all this, and he cuts that 2x4 so perfectly. I thought about that this morning driving in. I said, Lord, what should I improve in? And one word came to my mind, tools. I said, Lord, please don't make me work on with tools. I'm not very good with tools. Lewis is good with tools. I gave thanks to the Lord for you, Lewis, today. Your skill set with tools is awesome. They inspire us. Examples. Look at Jesus. He's an inspire us. We hear stories of Jesus says, look how He handled that. Every message you hear from me about the person of Christ and the way He handled it is to inspire us to be more Christ-like. We look at the Old Testament figures of Abraham and Moses and Joseph and David, Daniel. Why? Because we want their life and their story and their relationship with God to inspire us to behave the same way with the Lord. All the heroes of faith, all the heroes of history, who walked with the Lord, died for the Lord, preached the word of the Lord, missionaries who opened up fields for the Lord. These are heroes, and I want to be inspired by them. People in your daily life that have touched your life in such a way, and you're thankful. You're grateful for that friendship. You're so grateful for that day when they were present in that moment years ago. Would you allow it to go into a different space of admiration for that moment, that God used them and they were available to be used in that moment for you? To inspire you to be more like that? The ways to show it is, you gotta tell people, man, you have made a difference in my life. This is difficult for us to do, and the reason why is because we don't receive this very well. When someone says, I just want to say thank you for what you did.
Well, thank you for saying so. It must have been a mistake. I'm not really that type of a person. It was my better day. I must have made a mistake and done something right for the first time in my life. Oh, my goodness.
We got to learn to accept the admiration and say thank you, Lord, for the ability in that moment to bring that to the table. And yes, defer it to the glory of God, but to learn how to receive it that you might offer it, that joy that's received when someone says, what you did meant so much to me. Let it implode inside you and offer something of eternal beauty. So we can tell people, thank you for what you've done to me. Thank you. I admire you. Tell them individually. You can tell them collectively. You can write a letter to them. You can journal it in when you're talking about God. Oh, Lord, I recall what you did for me last year. I will never forget this. It's one of the nails in the foundation of the altar of my life that you have done this for me. Just as the Jews call back to Egypt, I call back to that moment how you touched me. It'll never be forgotten. We tell them they mean something. We learn from them by listening to them. We gain understanding by engaging with them. We ask questions to discover more. And then we mimic their behaviors. I was doing a counseling for a married couple and I got a close. And the guy's got a lot of problems like we all do. And I told him something that maybe you don't know, but I may have mentioned it. That when I was in my early teens, like 12, 13, 14, and through my high school years, there was a guy in my church that was a godly man. He was someone I wanted to model. My uncle Linfield was a very godly man, someone I wanted to model. But I watched a lot of TV to avoid situations in my home. And there were two models on the TV that I said, I want to be like that. The gracious Cary Grant, when I watch movies, and I'm not nearly as suave as he is, but the way he handled people. And Heart to Heart, if you ever remember that, Robert Wagner playing Jonathan Hart, the way he treated his wife was something amazing. I told this young man this, and I said to he and his wife, they are millennials, married. Watch this. Now, it's cheesy and it's slow, but watch that. They did. On our next meeting, I said, would you watch it? Yeah, it's unbelievable. That guy's awesome. Yeah. We begin to mimic. We want to mimic these right behaviors. Did my aunt's memorial. It was a humbling thing. I was asked to do so. Her brother, my uncle, who is my great mentor, my spiritual father in life, who was an evangelist. He had so many ways to express things. You know, he was a 19th century type of a preacher of eternity, eternity, where will you spend eternity, and what will you do with Jesus? You know, those type of things was great. And I got up there and knew that, and afterwards, everybody said, now, why didn't you do that? You mentioned Uncle Linfield doing the eternity, but why didn't you do that? I said, because I can't, I mimic the heart of it, but I can't mimic the words of it, because that was his soul. My soul cries out the same thing, but maybe not in the same way. But when you learn from somebody, when you admire someone, you mimic them, you do what they do, you follow Christ's model. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I must decrease, he must increase. And like this leper, let people know that you admire Christ. Psalm 35 says, I'll thank you in the great congregation, in the mighty throng. I'll praise you. Let us not be like those other nine. They were also healed. And I just grieve over the fact that in a world today, we have a whole lot of people who don't give thanks. So who are you going to show thanks to in your life or today? Would you start with the Lord to give him your attention, your appreciation, your approval of all the things he's done? Hey, wow, you did good. And your admiration. How about a loved one? Someone who might need to hear something from you. A spouse, a sibling. Maybe it's a co-worker. It might be a mentor that you've had. All my mentors have passed away. It grieves me. Some leaders in your life to say, I want to say thank you for the impact you made in my life. It could be a stranger when you see them do something that's just unbelievable. The strangers we don't like. Well, this guy was a Samaritan. Say, hey, I give attention to you. That was amazing. The way you handled that moment, awesome. I want to pray with you today and ask you just to bow your hearts before the Lord as you close your eyes to give attention to him in this moment. And I've placed a prayer, and I'm going to read this prayer, but I pray it would speak to you as I read it. You'd make it your own. Because I want to start today with giving the gratitude to God. And from that wellspring, we can learn to show gratitude to others. Heavenly Father, I'm deciding right now to give you thanks with all my heart. You've blessed me today with air in my lungs. He surrounded me with your presence. Lord, I want to declare today the wonderful things that you have done for me. Help me to see your hand of blessing upon my life. Remind me daily of your goodness. Remind me, Lord, to bless others by giving thanks, showing gratitude to them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. May we learn to be like the one and not the 90%. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, we bring today to a close. Would say to you that in weeks to come, there are several things happening. Wanda, are you here? No. Well, there's going to be a decoration of the sanctuary sometime this week. If you want to be part of that, contact the office. I know that the staff would love to have your assistance to be part of that celebration. There's going to be caroling taking place in the next couple of weeks, either the 8th or the 9th. Set those aside. Leslie, wave your hands. Leslie's on point for caroling. If you want to sing fa ra 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 fa la 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 and Oh Holy Night and maybe a little We Wish You a Merry Christmas stuff, that's the gal we want to be seeing on that. We do have a potluck again. We had one that last week, was wonderful, but the 17th of December we'll have another one. And I'm sorry you missed you, but you were sick, Linda. That was, well, glad you're here today. That's a great praise. Also, pray for the budget team. They're putting all the numbers together. We're going to get that budget out to you for 2024, and we will likely have that in your hands December 10th to look over, pray over. We'll have a discussion after the potluck on the 17th for a brief thing, answer any questions. We'll have a vote, a two-week vote. Some of you are not here on the 24th, which is Christmas Eve. Some of you are not here New Year's Eve. So we're going to have a two-week opportunity for you to proxy vote when you come in. Now, so we'll have it in your hands the 10th, discussion on the 17th, and 2 weeks of voting, and on the 31st we'll have the answer, and we'll move forward into the new year with a new budget. Well, God bless you. Stand with me as you will. Yes, please. Thank you, Linda. Cookie exchange this Saturday. It's great timing for the new holidays coming up. Stand with me. As you go out, there's a way to give. Show your stewardship to the Lord. For those of you online, there's a way to give there. Go out, be well, enjoy your week. You are Christ's ambassadors, so be good ones.